Welcome back to the continuation of the second series in our Facilities Management Coffee Talks. Our second series of Coffee Talks has been specifically focused on best practices tied to implementation and operation of a computerized maintenance management system. Today our topic is what to prioritize after you've implemented a CMMS solution and where you should focus first to ensure success. We've asked Scott Jader, a senior partner in Accruent's client success practice, to join us today to share his experience with some of Accruent's largest and most strategic clients. Welcome to the podcast, Scott. Hope you have your coffee.
Thanks, Trey. Yes, I do, and it would only taste a little bit better if I could have had you buy it for me.
I like that a lot. I hope you're not drinking the cheap stuff there.
No, it would be a lot more expensive if you were here. I know that.
That's great. That is great. Well, Scott, as you just heard, you know, and what you may know is a lot of our listeners are operators. These are facilities managers that are looking at best practices for managing their day-to-day. Where do they save money? And where do they focus to really engage broader parts of their organization? So, Scott, today's subject is really focused on once you've launched a new CMMS platform, once you've gone live, what should you do next? Where should you focus your next steps?
That's a great question, Trey. And I think from a system utilization perspective, one of the key things you need to do once you go live is really kind of keep your finger on the pulse of the user community. Their adoption, how well they're utilizing the system after go live. And really kind of that continued communication internally really helps drive success from an internal utilization of the application perspective. Some of the key areas that I see where customers tend to take that collective sigh of relief after they go live is they really stay within their swim lanes. I'm generating work orders, that's what I do today, or I'm proving invoices, that's what I do today. And they really forget a lot of the advantages that the application provides. One that I see my customers and many customers fail to utilize are the existing reports in the application. There are several very good standard reports that you can drive a great information out of the application to help you understand what you're doing and how you're doing within the application for driving value. And many customers will also include a Cognos BI license as well, so they can further analyze their business. I think that's one of the key drivers that I see customers fail to do is just to get out of their comfort zone, start digging and driving into the capabilities of the applications from a reporting perspective, for sure. The other thing I think is, if it wasn't identified up front, and generally we try to do that in an implementation, is really kind of identify who the champions are, right? So you need the influence and enthusiasm from those champions within the organizations that are helping to drive the user community and the acceptance and adoption of the application. It's key for the success of the application, and then you get everybody kind of heading in the same direction, and really kind of making sure you have the internal expertise to help with answering a lot of questions that come up within the use of the application. And ultimately what I've seen in my experience with working with especially larger accounts is you create a lot more system experts within your organization with that kind of model.
So that's interesting. Your early highlights seem to be about leveraging the solution to gain transparency and insights to where the spend is. You ended with something that really intrigues me, which is additional stakeholders. Is adoption and engaging more parts of the business a big priority?
Oh, absolutely. And if you take a look at generally, you would want to establish a not only a communication cadence, but a managerial or a governance around who is the escalation points within. So there should be executives that are sponsoring this, because ultimately when you're going to get the decision that can't be made, but what I'll say is the user community, it has to be someone at an executive level. They absolutely should be part of that governance and help drive some of those decisions.
That's interesting. You know, we've had a number of guests on this podcast, and one of the numbers that's bantered around that I find interesting is that right out of the gates, once you've implemented a CMMS platform, you're really only getting about 25% of the value. Have you heard that number before?
Yeah, based upon the application, and especially in an enterprise solution like VxMaintain, there are so many things in that application from a customization and configuration perspective. It definitely does not lend itself well to just, hey, I got a set and I stay there. So absolutely.
So do you foresee a journey? I know you have worked with a number of Accruent's very large clients for years. Do they go down a journey where they're improving and better leveraging the solution over time?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from a best practice perspective, since that's really what we want to talk about here, once a system has been established and has been put into production, it was based upon the what I'll call the as-is. It's how the business is processing today, right? So as you configure the application to how you manage your provider community, how you manage your accounts payable, how you manage your invoicing, how you manage escalations, contracts with your providers, whatever the case may be, can change. So the great thing about the application is the ability to do that. So I always suggest, at a minimum, there should be an annual program review that we provide through our professional services organization that really walks through what you're using today, how you're using it, and make recommendations on how we might want to change to better a number of things, right? It might be to, you know, we're looking at the metrics that are acceptable to your organization, you know, because the big thing in this thing is the providers, right? So how well they're performing, what your spend is against the provider by category, by the fixed SLAs, their acceptance SLAs, whether or not they're compliance and their geofence. And we like to come in and try to make sure the system is configured and then you're utilizing it to capture that very, very key data which drives value.
So that's interesting to me because now we're talking adoption of the system, and our listeners obviously prioritize not only where they're going to save money, but how do they get their service providers engaged? Do you have anything you'd recommend for driving service provider adoption of a new system and a new process?
Absolutely. And this is, I would say, of all the customers that I deal with, this topic is probably the most often discussed and probably the least activity in terms of action items that actually get implemented. It's really kind of unfortunate. But yes, from a provider perspective and their adoption, it's really about communication and transparency. The providers actually need to know, and they need to be part of this process, right? So if you put a system in and you're expecting them to do something, then you should be communicating what that is, right? And what you're, and then communicating to them what you're going to be measuring, and make it a value statement. Because hey, do you know that if you generate your work orders and you invoice them through our system, you don't have to do that again, right? It's already going to be into our accounts payable system, right? So there's no more double entry. There's things like that you can be talking to your providers about that help drive value, and that should be a continuum, right? So it's the transparency and the communication cadence should be consistent. Whether you're doing quarterly business reviews with your providers or whatever the cadence is, you should be measuring, managing, and talking to them about the system utilization and the key drivers and how they are comparing against what you have set as your expected measurements for success, right? As I talked about earlier, whether it's the time from an SLA perspective, how long it takes them to accept a work order, whether or not they're geofence compliance when they're on site, when they start the work order, did they meet fixed SLA, or if you're doing a lot of HVAC, you know, things like the same day fix percentage can be real key. All those metrics need to be measured and need to be communicated and talked to. So if you can get that established and them using the system, I think it makes the provider better, because if they understand where they're failing, gives them an opportunity to get better. So as I tell my clients, tell the providers that if they're going to get better in working with you, that's going to help them get better with working with all their accounts, right? So these are just some key drivers. As I always say, it's like you should never present it as cracking the whip, like you are my provider, you will do it this way. It's a partnership. And as long as you're communicating and staying consistent and you have a cadence that works and the expectations are set and you're working together on a frequency that makes sense, then you drive success, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
What I like that you just said, Scott, is yeah, there needs to be a little bit of enforcement and compliance with these service providers, but taking the time to educate them on the value of this new system is where you've seen some of your clients really get a win.
Absolutely. And I've had a chance. I've actually sat in on quarterly business reviews with my clients and the providers. So I've learned firsthand what they go through. So it was great experience for me to get that from both sides. And it really kind of brought together everything for me as to, oh, I get it. This has to be a collaborative process. This is not a crack the whip. You have to do it this way. This is about making everyone better, and everyone does get better.
So let's talk about that. What would you recommend to your clients as far as reviewing their progress, call it quarterly or annually, and kind of setting goals to start to maximize the use and the value out of a CMMS platform?
Excuse me. Yes, so there's a couple of areas that we talk about. I think from setting the goals and measuring that, for me and my clients, what I do is I will do an annual business review so that we measure the key metrics that they want to be successful at. And that might be spend by category or asset, might be across providers, it might be the areas that are key for them from an SLA perspective. And we look at that, and then we rank them. And then we come up with I'll call it a top 10 list of things that we need to do as collaboratively, and what they need to do with their provider community collaboratively to drive better results, right? So what I generally will do is we'll put together a priority list that starting from 1 through 10, whatever it might be, and we indicate what it is we're trying to drive towards. If it's, hey, I want to have an 85% geofence compliance in the application is what my goal is. And if I got providers that aren't there, what is my plan to get there? So we would score that, and we would note that, who would be responsible for it, what they're going to do, and a date associated with that. So every quarterly business review that I have with my clients, then following that, it was my opportunity to help track and drive where we are in the success of that. So nothing measured, nothing gained, right? So that's really what we try to do from that business review, is to try to do that quarterly and make sure and hold my clients and the users of the application accountable for getting some of these things done.
So that's interesting. I like the accountability. No, let's imagine, and again, some of our listeners have had a CMMS system in place for a number of years. What are some of the advanced tactics you see tied to leveraging a CMMS system? Are there asset level management, focus on warranties? What do you see in out years as really advanced best practices?
Great question, and really that's a subject that's dear and near to my heart, and one that I continually press with my clients. And that's really about managing your facilities at the asset level, right? If you're not managing your spend at the asset level, you're missing some what I consider probably the top return on investment elements within the application. Managing spend against, and then also along with that is the warranties, right? Because many clients don't do a really good job of managing the warranties and end up spending money on assets that, had they have been tracked and had they been managed not only at the asset level, for spend, but also for warranties, they wouldn't be spending, because I can assure you that's happening and probably happening, and who's ever listening to this, it probably does happen. But it's interesting, that generally becomes a phase two in most of the client's repertoire in terms of utilization of the application. It generally can be a fairly involved process, because you have to build it, right? So if you've got thousands and thousands of asset, it takes time. And in some of my clients, they do have thousands and thousands and thousands of assets. So, but the value and power of those key assets that you put in is really where you drive the value. And I think that is something that needs to be a focal point. And I focus with my clients is to get that in as soon as you can. I mean, we've done we've done comparisons on customers who have done asset category spend tracking versus the actual asset level, and it can be significant. Again, depending on your asset mix, the number of assets that we have seen, customers, some of our customers have realized more than $4,000 per store annual savings by deploying asset level and warranty tracking. Excuse me. That's significant. So if you talk about 500, 600, 700 or 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 stores, it adds up significantly. That is a huge return on investment, and one that is always a struggle to get going soon. And my recommendation is to get after that and get after that as soon as possible.
So that's interesting. You're saying out of the gates, clients should create a process for capturing asset level data, knowing that over time, having that data in the system is how they start to get the value. Is that correct? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I think as I had indicated, and I think you're pretty much right on there, Trey. I think if you're not going to deploy it right out of the get-go, which many don't because there's just a lot of other things that have to get done, unless you already have the asset information available and the assets are tagged, then it's a no-brainer. You start with that right away. But if they aren't and you need to build it, it should be part of your deployment and rollout plan. So it should state that after I go live, I start on my asset process and my warranty process 30 days after that, and I want it deployed by region or whatever the structural design is of how you want to roll this out. And it should be, I want all my assets in and tracked by this date. It should be part of the plan.
That's perfect. Well, Scott, we are nearing the end of our time. Any warnings or any pitfalls you would share with our listeners to really make sure they don't make any common errors that you see with some of your clients?
Another great topic. So the first thing I would avoid is complacency. As I said earlier in our conversation, don't stay in your swim lane, right? Explore the system, use the reports, dig in, figure out what you can get out of here, what it can drive. I've been around the application for a long time, and there are still some things that it's like, oh, I didn't know it could do that. I would strongly suggest that you just explore and utilize the application and stay focused. The other pitfalls is that I see at least my clients, and that's what is holding your providers accountable. We just continue on the path as business as usual. And, you don't measure your success and or the lack thereof from your providers, and you're not communicating with them. So, again, make it collaborative, make it a win-win for both, but absolutely you must hold your providers accountable and measure them against who the competition is, because you'll have that data. If you've got a provider that's providing services for you across the country, there may be regions and stuff where they may be better than others. So those are all things that I think you can help them get better at. And again, I'm going to say it again. I mentioned it earlier, but knowledge is power. The use of the reporting tools is key. I can tell you that not just at Accruent, but in my previous life and working with other applications, it tends to be something that just sits there in the closet and we don't look at it. And there are way too many great, great tools and data that can be retrieved out of here that you need to get after. So I think those are some three key ones. And of course, obviously, if you're not doing asset level tracking and warranties, absolutely, you got to do that.
Sounds like our listeners need to become real champions for their CMMS platforms.
It does help.
Thank you. Scott, thank you very much. Thanks for making the time. This is exactly what we hope to get from your experience and your wisdom with clients. We appreciate you joining the podcast today.
My pleasure, Trey, and I thank you. And for those listening, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope we have an opportunity to meet one day. Thank you.
Sounds good. As a reminder to our listeners, please continue to tune in to the second series in our Facilities Management Coffee Talks. Submit any questions or any subjects that you have, and we'll try to address them on a future podcast. Thanks again, Scott.
Thank you.